Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Medical Frontiers is an informational program sponsored by the Allegheny Health Network. The information featured on Medical Frontiers is intended solely to further the public's general knowledge of current developments in the field of medicine and should not be relied upon as offering advice, diagnosis, or opinions as to any individual treatment or problem. Nothing should replace the relationship that you maintain with your personal physician.
Well, good evening. Dr. Gerald Piper here of Medical Frontiers. Good evening, Rob. How are you?
I am wonderful. Good to see you, Doc.
Okay. And, you know, it's great seeing a little more daylight. You know, the days are getting longer, you know.
I'll take it.
And these temperatures.
It's going to be warm next couple of days.
Yeah. Well, Medical Frontiers tonight. Very excited about the show tonight. And we're just sort of putting this on the show on the fly. I haven't met most of the people that are going to be on this show tonight. And that's okay. One of the advantages of doing this show is to meeting new people and what they do with their lives. And Jennifer Winfield, are you on the line?
Yes.
Hi, Jennifer. Dr. Piper here on Medical Frontiers. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. Is Tyler there on the line too?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Hi, Tyler.
Hola.
Yeah. This is Dr. Piper. Tyler, are you having a good time?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to be talking to you more, Tyler, and I just learned about some of the circumstances, Jennifer, with you and your family and Tyler this evening from Charlie, and we'll be talking to Charlie also during the show, and Jennifer, do you want to stay on for the entirety of the show, and or do you want to just do a little thing right here at the beginning? How do you want to handle that?
However long you need us is fine.
Okay. All right. So we'll work out whatever works. But anyway, I heard your story from Charlie, Jennifer, that Tyler is a special needs child, and he was nonverbal until, I guess he got one of these devices when he was 7, 8 years old. And after about 18 months, he actually started talking initiated by himself, which is really kind of interesting. Is that the case? Did Charlie relate that pretty accurately?
Yeah, he got it about 2.5 years ago. He only had maybe one or two words, and as of right now, he does not use his device, and it actually taught him how to speak on his own.
So he's not using the device at all. And when did that stop, you say?
Probably about a year and a half ago. Within a year of using the device, he started to find his voice and was speaking on his own.
Well, that's really, really amazing. And how old is Tyler now?
He is 8 now.
He's 8 now. Okay. And Charlie was telling me that he may not even need to be in special education in school in a short while. Is that true? That he had a recent IEP and perhaps he's going to be able to be mainstreamed and not be pulled out for special ed. Is that true?
Yes, he is in mainstream classes, and they pull him out to work with his speech, and he is at a point that they feel like he does not need the individualized lessons any longer.
Okay. Well, Tyler, that's really good news. Do you like talking to your mom and your sister and your dad? That's pretty neat, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you need something, you can ask your mom. You don't have to even use that device anymore, do you?
Yeah.
Well, that is great. And your mom said you turned what, 9?
He'll be 9 in August.
9 in August. Okay. Well, that's great. What day in August?
30th.
The 30th? That's fantastic. I have a daughter who has a birthday on the 30th. Can you imagine that? How about that? Yeah. Her name is Heather. Yeah, Heather has a birthday on the 30th. But okay, we're going to go on with our show, and Jennifer, really great talking to you, and giving us that input. That is really amazing, and hopefully other children who are using this device will be able to become verbal also and not need that device. Wouldn't that be great, Jennifer?
That would be fantastic, and even with that, it gives that kid a way to communicate with their parents that they did not have.
Oh, that's really great, and it's a real feel-good story for sure, okay? And Tyler, thanks so much for being on Medical Frontiers tonight. Good luck to you, and do well in school, okay?
Okay.
You guys have a great evening. Thanks so much for coming on. Okay, Medical Frontiers talking about access to special needs children to medical care and other care that they may need. And so often we think that, well, that's primarily educational. We work through the schools and so on. But they also have medical problems that need to be addressed. And so we're going to be talking about that as we go on. I'd like to say hello to Dr. a pediatrician. He's actually the head of pediatrics for Allegheny Health Network, and that's a position he's had for a while now, Dr. Arakri. And Dr. Arakri has been on Medical Frontiers before. I think it was like 6 or 8 months ago. Welcome back.
Nice to be back. Thank you.
How are things going?
Oh, well, we're in the middle of this thing called a flu season, so it's been a little bit hectic.
You know, I read in a paper where Allegheny County, we like to lead in a lot of things, but I think there have been over 5,000 cases of the flu in Allegheny County, which is higher than Philadelphia County. I think they had about 1,500 or something like that. Is that because we haven't had our vaccinations, Dr. Arakri?
No, I think it's many factors. Charlie and I were talking about it earlier. First, back in the old days, about 5 years ago, we didn't really test for flu that much. Now we have a rapid test. And also for flu, we didn't have anything to do about it. Now we have a medicine called Tamiflu.
Okay.
So with the advent of the rapid test, we're actually identifying more of what we used to just call viral syndrome as being true flu. And that's all reportable to the health department. So I think that could be one of the reasons why we're seeing an increase in the number of reported cases. But a flu season is a flu season is a flu season.
Yeah.
And they're never good.
Okay. And also, what we're going to do is take a break now, and we'll introduce our next guest after the break. But this is Medical Frontiers. We're talking about pediatrics tonight with a special emphasis on where do you go if you have a child that needs special care, whether it's medical, educational, or whatever. We're going to help with that medical side with Medical Frontiers tonight. Give us a call, 866-391-1020. We'll be back. Okay, we are back on Medical Frontiers. Dr. Pfeiffer here, and we're talking about accessibility for children with special needs. And we're very fortunate to have our second guest. We'd like to introduce Dr. Charlie Lavallee. And it's kind of interesting. He comes from a family that had a bakery in Oakland, and he thought getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning was just normal for all kids, right? Working at the bakery.
Went to the bakery first, and then went to Carnegie Mellon right after being at work at 3, and went in my baker clothes right to class. Had to bring donuts for 4 years: Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, every day.
But it helped you get good grades, didn't it?
Well, it helped me learn about work.
Work, absolutely.
And what it took for my family to give me an education like Carnegie Mellon. I learned a lot working nights. I wouldn't trade it.
Okay, Charlie is CEO of Variety Pittsburgh. And tell us a little bit about Variety Pittsburgh and your involvement and so on. And that's more than just Pittsburgh, I mean, you are involved with this effort in a very, very large area. Talk to us about what you do.
Well, first, I always like to get the title correct, and Rob Pratt can help me try to lobby Joyce Bender. I don't want to be chief executive officer anymore. I want to be chief excitement officer. I just can't get the board to get on board with me. But we're focused on enabling kids with disabilities to live life to the fullest. And sometimes it's very simple, like giving a child an adaptive bike so they can ride with their friends, their siblings, their moms and dads, their cousins, so they're not left out on the porch, not left there watching everybody else. If all it takes is the right kind of bike, we can do this. This isn't impossible. This is doable. Or it might be an adaptive stroller, because we know a lot of kids, the family challenges are such that the child might be a runner, right, who's going to bolt off and go through traffic because mom and dad can't take him out. I remember a grandmother said to me, "Charlie, we need a stroller." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because my 10-year-old grandson is a runner. I cannot take him out by myself." She didn't want to go to Paris. She just wanted to go down to Dairy Queen for ice cream together. In the adaptive stroller, now grandma and grandson go down and have ice cream together. Again, we can do this. This isn't impossible. This is within our reach.
Just a simple thing like that.
Simple
thing. Over the years, how many bikes have you distributed to children with special needs?
Well, thousands of adaptive bikes, strollers, and communication devices. The bikes are expensive. They're $1,800 per bike to sponsor.
Wow.
And when we started in 2012, I didn't know if we could get 50. Well, we just crossed $5 million worth of donations.
Wow. Wow.
So the community has been great. Andrea Corelli, I always have to give her a shout out from PNC. When I pitched the idea, I had an idea. She wrote the first check personally. And, you know, you always have to have somebody who believes in the dream.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this electronic device that Tyler doesn't need anymore because he's verbal. He's talking to his mom and dad and sisters, you know, so... You know, how many of those have you distributed?
About 800. The thing about that, I think what happens to us is, unless you have a child with disabilities, to be honest, not to fault the community, but unless you do, you don't know. Like, what do you do? I had a 4-year-old recently. The mother shared this story when her daughter got the communication device at the University of Pittsburgh. She says, "I can illustrate it for you. The preschool teacher called me and said, come over. Something's wrong with your daughter. I don't know what it is." Mom gets there. She can't figure it out. To the pediatrician. Pediatrician can't figure it out. 4 days, 3 doctor visits, and a full body scan. Till they figured out she had a fractured leg.
Wow.
I would be out of my mind if that was my almost 4-year-old granddaughter, if I didn't know she was in that much pain for 4 days. What do you do if your child can't talk to you? What do you do?
Yeah. It in some cases, and I'm not being degrading our medical community and so on, but sometimes it's like taking care of like a veterinarian. You know, the dog can't talk, you know, the cat can't talk, so we have to depend on the parents. And sometimes the parents, if they can't get information from the child, Dr. Ackery, it's kind of difficult sometimes, isn't it? Trying to come up with a diagnosis and what the treatment plan is.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the big challenges of being a pediatrician. You know, you go to an adult doctor, you know, an adult can talk and say what's going on. Being a pediatrician, you're doing a number of things. You're talking to the mother, you're talking to the father, you're talking to any caregiver. But you're also, we're trained on looking at the child. And what I always tell to my students is you have to say, you know, sick, not sick, toxic. You need to be able to identify just from how the child is sitting, and then doing a good physical exam to figure these things out. But having adaptive devices like the devices that Charlie's putting out there, I mean, greatly affects these kids and gives them such a wonderful quality of life. I mean, a problem with society and these children is we don't know what they're capable of. And what Charlie is providing them is a way of letting us know what they are capable of.
Yeah, and it just shows how communication is such an important thing to have. And when you lack that communication because you have a child who is nonverbal, and we can do something by one of these devices or whatever and improve the situation so there's communication between the mother and child, the child and the pediatrician and so on. That's just amazing. And it's also amazing. It teaches us more about this wonderful thing we call a brain that we don't fully understand.
Definitely. I mean, in the past, these kids were institutionalized because we didn't know what they were capable of or being able to communicate with them. I mean, now with the multitude of therapies, physical therapy, speech therapy, and again, devices like what Charlie does, we're able to really bring the full potential of these children out.
And sometimes that's in the form of music. I've seen on television, autistic children singing wonderful songs and so on, playing the piano, playing the guitar, or whatever. We don't know what their capabilities are unless we can get in there and release those. You agree with that, Charlie?
Sure. I remember an 11-year-old who had Down syndrome, verbal apraxia, and was also a cancer survivor. She had cancer at age one. I sat when she got her device. Highmark was graciously shooting a television spot for us to get the word out. First time, this wasn't planned, it happened live. She uses her communication device. She says to her pediatrician through the device, "My ear hurts." He looks in her ear. Now, you know what she had, right?
Probably had a nice ear infection.
Yep. He says, "Janessa, you have an ear infection." He writes her a script for antibiotic. But that was the first time she told the doctor, and then from then on was going to be able to talk to her oncology team at her annual visit. She never talked to the doctor before. So now she owns it. She can talk about her own health.
Right. And like you say, you couldn't write the script any better. And that just happened. You know, it's like a miracle every time that something like that happens, which is just rather incredible. Now, since Tyler doesn't need his device any longer, can somebody else use that?
Well, the key is the speech language pathologist figures out, for example, there's specific communication apps, right? And depending on why you're not able to communicate verbally, Rob Pratt might need touch chat. You might need LAMP, Words for Life. Dr. Arakri might need a Snapchat. So really, it has to be individualized and trialed by the speech language pathologist.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Okay, this is Medical Frontiers for tonight. We're talking about pediatrics in general, but more specifically, accessibility for children with special needs. And we've talked about some of those, and we're going to continue to do that throughout. If you would like to talk to us, if you have a child with special needs or whatever, give us a call at 866-391-1020. We'll be back.
The following program is paid for by the Allegheny Health Network.
Okay, we're back at Medical Frontiers. We're talking about kids with special needs. And I just understand we have a special guest that called in. Charlie, why don't you introduce our next guest on the phone?
It's my pleasure to reintroduce someone who's changed my life, Tyler Winfield. Tyler, would you be willing to sing a song that you choose for us tonight?
Yes.
Okay. What will you sing?
Last Christmas.
Great. Let's hear Last Christmas from Tyler.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year, save me from tears. I'll give it to someone special.
All right.
Ooh, you are awesome.
Now, you realize.
From no voice to that.
That was George Michael, one of his biggest hits of all time, who sadly passed away. He used to be one of the members of Wham. I've been in music and radio for 40 years. I don't even know the lyrics to that song. So, great job.
What a job, Tyler.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you so much, okay? Very, very good. Thanks for calling in. Well, isn't that amazing? And a few years ago, he was nonverbal, right, Charlie?
Nonverbal. They had two words maybe when I first met him, and now he's singing on KDKA radio Last Christmas. I just love it. It's so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
It's what's possible if we give the kids what they need to try to find their way, and the hope to the parents. This is about what's possible.
Who invented that device, the electronic device, to and had the vision of saying, well, maybe this would help in creating, you know, better communication with these children. Who came up with that?
Well, there had been a device out for a while, and I'm sure Dr. Arachne remembers it, Dynavox with Tilden Bennett. But then what's happened now with the iPad, we don't call it an iPad, we call it a communication device because that's its sole purpose. We've disabled every other function. You can't do anything else with it. So really, we just took an iPad by Apple and adapted it into a communication device. So technology, I mean, Joyce Bender and I talk about if we can get these kids started now talking, who knows, some new technology will come along, and that might be the gateway to their getting a job, and Joyce would say, to self-sufficiency and to their own life. So we have to start the kids early. I'm sure Dr. Arachne, as a pediatrician, would agree about early intervention and start.
Absolutely. It's all about early intervention. The sooner you can pick up these kids, the sooner that you can meet their needs and address what they need through therapies, the better the result you get.
Yeah, like Tyler was 6 or 7 years of age when he got his device. And just think if he was 2 or 3, what he might be doing. You know, he might be singing on, television.
Well, thanks to pediatricians like Dr. Arachne and early intervention speech pathologists, we were asked to lower the age from 4 to 3. And I'm about to go to Schuylkill County. We're going to give out 28 communication devices next Monday. 70% of the kids are under 6. So exactly to the point, if we can start early, like Dr. Arachne was saying, who knows where they'll go.
Absolutely. And like we said earlier, we don't know what is stored up in these children's brains, you know, that it just can't get out because they don't have the means to communicate. And if we can help with that, well, it's fantastic. You know, and we saw that a perfect example just a few minutes ago when Tyler sang for us. That's really amazing.
Well, if I could, that's the greatest part of right now. We have 1,000 devices, thanks to Leo Gerard from the Steelworkers and his relationship with Governor Wolf and through the Department of Community and Economic Development. We have 1,000 communication devices. So we need to get the word out. Like, that's why I'm so grateful to be here tonight with you all, because this is our chance. If you get on KDKA and the community can hear about it, maybe Grandpa hears it and talks to his daughter about his granddaughter. We have to prioritize these kids, because if we get all these 1,000, who knows where they'll go, where their lives will be, and we can build a movement. Absolutely. And change Pennsylvania.
That's really amazing. Rob, I see that we have a question up there. We don't have a name, but can we take that?
It's Sherry.
Yeah, okay, Sherry. Sherry, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I have a chance to be on this team called the Independent Monitoring for Quality. I guess the state picks out certain people who have intellectual disabilities, and you're supposed to go talk to them and find out what they need, get a special consideration for what they might need, like a communication device. I'm trying to find out, like, whether it would be a worthwhile thing to take on, because you have to talk to these people and their families for about an hour or an hour and a half. And I was worried about the lengthiness of the survey itself would take so long. And I was worried about putting them through that. But if I could figure out ways to help them and get a communication device for them, it might be a worthwhile position.
Okay, but you're concerned about the time it takes and the intensity of the evaluation and that type of thing. Dr. Arachne,
yeah.
Do you have any suggestions about that? You know, somebody with special needs and so on, are there ways that the red tape, let's say, it can be cut through?
I mean, the hardest thing that our parents have is getting into the system. So, those surveys and the intakes can be lengthy at times. It can be very difficult to get the appointments and maintain the appointments. But once you're in the system, our system does a really good job of keeping these kids in and doing the best for them. So I always tell the parents, you know, to be diligent, to constantly call back, to put up with the red tape. Because once you get through there, then your child will flourish.
Does that make sense to you, Sherry?
Yeah, these might be adults. They might be kids. I don't know. It could be any number of people with intellectual disabilities or nonverbal. And it makes sense that it would be worthwhile if I could really help them.
Okay, Charlie, any suggestions there?
Well, I think it's always great to consider being of service to these families and those with disabilities. And quite frankly, my experience has in serving them, I'm sure, again, Dr. O'Grack, you would agree with me, the kids and their families have changed me. I thought I was doing it for them, and I find out the joy they get, like over getting a bike, is so overwhelming that I can't help be changed by them. I'm a better person because of the family, the kids and families we serve.
Oh, that's the best part of being a pediatrician.
Is, you know, you think you're doing something, but they're doing something for you. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah. These kids become part of your life. I've been doing this for such a long time. I've sent a number of kids to college now, and I'm starting to see the kids of some of my kids. And it is part of being the family. So whenever you see a child that starts off nonverbal, autistic, and maybe socially awkward, and you find out that she ended up going to Australia on a college visit, it just blows you away. And I mean, you have to step out of the exam room, wipe your eyes, and then go back in again.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the greatest satisfactions, I think, of practicing medicine, and is those types of things that you see when somebody wasn't able to walk and now they can walk. Somebody wasn't able to talk and now they can talk.
Yeah,
those are the satisfactory things that keep us going.
I mean, the one thing I always say is you never know a child's true potential until they achieve it. And I always tell my parents, you know, everybody's born with a rubber band. Some rubber bands are bigger than other rubber bands, but it's our job to stretch it as far as we can. So if your child was born with a short rubber band, we're just going to stretch it and see what we can get out of it.
Yeah, I had a child who had cerebral palsy as a patient, and I guess she was about 2 or 3 years old, and she was not walking. And somebody had referred her, I don't know, maybe a pediatrician referred her into the office, I'm not sure, but we had a good conversation with her mom and with her and examined her. And I said, you know, from a musculoskeletal standpoint, I don't know why she can't walk. Her muscles are working okay. She had a little tightness in a few joints and so on, but I don't know why she can't walk. Let's get her involved. And we got her involved with the Easter Seals program, you know, for crippled children. And that girl, not only did she walk, she became an athlete. Mm-hmm. She was a track star. But it was, and what a feel good, you know, scenario that was when I got a letter from her mom when she was in junior high school and then high school and graduated, went on to college and so on. I mean, you know, sometimes you just have to give them a chance.
Yes.
And
yes.
She had been told by physicians that your daughter will never walk. You know, and that can be a big barrier. Like you say, you don't know unless you try.
Right, yeah. Right. And we're there to support the parents, and the parents have to support the child, and they can never give up, and that's the important thing.
Yeah. Okay, we need to take a break. This is Medical Frontiers, talking about accessibility for children who have special needs, some of the barriers and some of the feel-good stories that come out of when you really do the right things. We'll be back. Okay, we are back at Medical Frontiers, and we're talking about special needs for special needs children. And we're very, very fortunate to have Colleen, who has called in. Good evening, Colleen.
Good evening. How
okay,
are you?
And I understand you have the very, very special honor of being Tyler Winfield's
Tyler.
Grandmother.
That is correct. Okay. I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you, Charlie and Variety. You have done so much for Tyler. Without that device, he wouldn't be able to speak. And it is just such a life-changing experience.
Well, everybody should know that Tyler calls Colleen Nana. And I was in the house that time when he used that device for the first time to say, what did he say to you?
And he said, I love you, Nana.
How about
and
that?
And now he can physically say it. Before, he had to type it out.
Okay, so he can say it now, and I bet you he can give you a hug at the same time.
Absolutely.
Okay.
He is, you know, he is just an awesome kid, and without Variety, I don't know where he would be.
Well, that's a wonderful, wonderful testimony to the work that Variety does and the work that physicians like Dr. Acri do, you know, when they have a child with special needs, getting them in the right direction so that they can be helped.
Could I just add to that? One thing we really haven't mentioned tonight is, Colleen, it's you as Nana, and Jen, and Nate, and his sisters. We haven't given enough really recognition to the families. The rest of us, me to a much lesser degree, we're the helpers. Dr. Arakri sees kids every day, and his colleagues, they're there to help. But really, you families, grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads and brothers and sisters, you're the real stars. Mm-hmm. And we don't get that message out enough. It doesn't happen without you. We can give you the device, but without your dedication and desire to help Tyler grow, it doesn't happen. So to me, it's you families, you nanas and moms and dads.
And they're with it 24/7, full time.
The helpers are awesome, though. They complete us.
Thanks, Colleen.
That's all I got to say. They complete us. Thank you.
Okay, Nana. Well, thank you so much for calling in. It really is a real good story for Medical Frontiers and for all of us in the listening audience and those of us in the studio, for sure. Okay, Medical Frontiers, give us a call. If you have a good story, you tell us. It'd be great to hear it. 866-391-1020. Charlie, I always like to ask our guests, what do you see out there in the future? You have done an amazing job, and you told us that you were involved with the Caring Place through Highmark and so on, which is another program that is just absolutely off the wall as far as it, taking care of children who are grieving. They've lost a parent, they've lost a sibling, they've lost a good friend, and the program that the Caring Place does for these children is just amazing. But what do you see? What's your dream? What's your vision out there in the future? Not only with Variety, perhaps, but,
Well, I think we have a chance in Pennsylvania right now to once again create a model for the nation with communication devices. We have this grant from the governor and the Department of Community and Economic Development, and it's up to all of us in this community to prioritize these kids. We can't say anymore it's somebody else. We have to get the word out. Our families can go. Anybody can go to varietypittsburgh.org and find out about our programs. They're free. And the other thing is the income guidelines. This is what our families don't believe. We're $128,750 for a family of four. So while we're serving families who are in poverty, we're also serving middle-income families who are spending a lot of money on the care of their child with special needs. So to me, it's all about, are we going to do it again in Western Pennsylvania? Are we going to create a model for the nation that can be replicated throughout the nation? But we have to do it. We can't look to somebody else. It has to be us.
Absolutely. And how, Dr. Acri, how about the medical needs? And you're involved, you're the head of pediatrics for Allegheny Health Network. What can Allegheny Health Network do? What's your vision for AHN for the future with this particular problem?
Yeah, so what we're looking at doing at AHN is we're trying to bring care into the neighborhoods. We're trying to meet the families where they live, try to bring resources to their families. We have brought on a developmental specialist that's helping us do the assessment of some of these children, doing what's best for them. We have a very strong child psych program that we're able to help these kids with psychological and psychiatric illnesses. We are working with some of our partners in the community with physical therapy, speech, occupational therapy. The whole idea is, just like Charlie was saying, first identify these kids as early as possible and then get them the services that they need.
Okay, and so once that's identified, then we need to put the people and the time and the programs into it. And it takes money, too. You know, so we have to have those financial resources to get the bikes, to get the devices and so on, that type of thing. So the community has to step up and say, okay, I'm willing to throw some dollars into this because it's such a good program.
Oh, we need dollars. We need volunteers. We need people just to be active in what's happening around us.
Okay. Well, it's almost time to say goodnight. Next week, we're going to be talking about the Center for Inclusion with a special emphasis on women's health programs for Allegheny Health Network. That'll be next week on the 20th of January. Hard to believe that the 20th of January is coming up in 2020. That'll be 1-20-2020. That's like, you know, so yeah. What are you going to do? Okay. All right. We're going to say goodnight. Good health. We'll be back in 1 week.
Medical Frontiers is an informational program sponsored by the Allegheny Health Network. The information featured on Medical Frontiers is intended solely to further the public's general knowledge of current developments in the field of medicine and should not be relied upon as offering advice, diagnosis, or opinions as to any individual treatment or problem. Nothing should replace the relationship that you maintain with your personal physician.